Without any further ado, we thank God for someone that I've always loved and respected. He's going to come forth now and give us the word of God for this hour, the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. At this time, without any further ado, Deacon Howard Gavin is going forward now to give us the word of God today. Again, the gospel of the grace of God as ministered today by Deacon Howard Gavin. Amen. Deacon Gavin.
The church say amen again. We certainly praise God for that warm greeting. And we certainly praise God again for our mother, the mother of this assembly, being with us. We have two church mothers, Mother Goodloe Johnson and Mother Elaine Nettles. As we all know, Mother Goodloe Johnson is away from us in distance, but near in heart. But our dear Mother Nettles is with us.
Amen.
And we praise God for that. Let us pray before we get to the Word of God. And dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace, for your mercy, your truth, your love, your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to look into your blessed Word, and we pray, God, your help and enablement by the blessed Spirit of God. Bless, Lord, this your servant that you speak through. And Lord God, bless the hearers, those in our immediate presence and those on the webcast, Lord, afar and very far away. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Speak, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians? The first chapter, Ephesians, the first chapter. I was sitting in Sunday school because I wanted to get some more word in me. And lo and behold, our pastor and Elder Liverman almost spoke the whole message. Amen. But God is good, and his word is living. It's alive. Elder Liverman will be our designated reader, and we are going to use as a main context Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 as a main context. Now, I'm going to be cognizant of the clock. Amen. We're not going to hold you too long, but we want, by the enablement of God, to bring out some precious truths to the body of Christ, the church. Ella, do you have Ephesians chapter 1? The first chapter of Ephesians is one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote while he was incarcerated in prison. And it is packed full of spiritual, eternal blessings and enlightenment which the Lord gave him to give or deliver unto the church. We are primarily looking into spirituality now. Yes, Paul dealt with some other things. He dealt with domestic issues and the like. But his main course of business was pointing and God's people to those things eternal and sharing with them from our resurrected, glorified Lord those things that we are about and that concern us the most. So we're going to read through the context without much comment, and then we're going to come back and speak on its parts. Ella, if you will, from the King James Version, we'll do it from the King James Version. Begin at verse 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the first verse
mm-hmm.
in the King James Version.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
by the will of God,
yes.
to the saints which are at Ephesus,
yes.
and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
All right, we're going to explain that word faithful. Go ahead.
Grace be to you.
And definitely this one, grace mm-hmm. be to you.
And peace from God our Father,
mm-hmm.
and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Verse 3, blessed be the God.
Blessed the God
and Father mm-hmm. of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right.
Who hath blessed us.
Now, catch this. Who hath blessed us mm-hmm.
with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
We'll fix that, as one amongst us oftentimes say. We'll come back and fix that. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in, as King James say, in heavenly places in Christ. You'll see that word very much in Paul's epistles. That's telling us something. It's informing us of our true abode is in Christ. Read, Ella.
According as he hath chosen us in him.
Perk your ears up. According as he hath chosen us in him. When?
Before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
We'll fix that part too. Verse 5, Elder.
Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
Having set our bounds, having predetermined our boundaries, our bounds, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, where? To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 6.
To the praise of the glory mm-hmm. of his grace.
And there's that word, grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. What?
Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Never forget that, saints. He has made us accepted in the beloved. We belong to him. We are accepted. When? Eternally. Eternally. Read, Ella.
In whom
mm-hmm.
we have redemption through his blood.
You know who that is? None but the Lord Jesus. Uh-huh. Here's another benefit. We have redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins.
We have the forgiveness of sins. We don't have to get before the Lord, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. We have the forgiveness of our sins. We have it. We're not trying to get it. We got it. Hallelujah. According to the riches or richness of his grace. We'll open that word grace up shortly. Finish it up, Elder.
Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence in verse 9.
Having made known unto us
mm-hmm.
the mystery of his will,
mm-hmm.
according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself.
And this is where we're reading from, that very mystery, which God had the Lord Jesus Christ deliver to the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Paul to the churches, the body of Christ. I want to put these thoughts in your mind today as a subject matter. Our prioritized eternal focusing in the grace dispensation and covenant. Our prioritized eternal focusing in the grace dispensation and covenant. And as an alternate subject matter, I would say, why grace? And why spirituality over physicality? Why grace and why spirituality over physicality? Indulge me. The great and overwhelming majority of us as children of God, people of God, offspring of God, are way off base when it comes to us assessing, that is, how we view or rate these things. Who we are, where we are. You say, well, Deacon, I know where I am. I'm in Ferndale. I'm in Grace Gospel Church. We're going to find out where we truly are, where we actually are. What we have, what and where is our hope or our expectation, is not in entitlements, pensions, paychecks. That's not an entitlement. Social Security, in any ethnicity. And also, we're way off base in our assessing of what, if anything, we can depend on. Most of us depend on everything else before we trust in God, or He calls us to trust in Him. And sixthly, how can we or how should we view and deal with the daily, constant dilemmas and problems, circumstances, events, troubles, ups and downs, struggles in, within and without, and atrocities all around us? But they are consigned to this life, this manifested physical life. And if we are way off base in our viewing and assessing and understanding regarding those six categories, who we are, where we are, what we can expect, what can we depend on, and how can we view, or should we view and deal with all the dilemmas of life. If we are way off base in those, then our prioritized eternal focus and in the grace dispensation and covenant must be barely on the radar at best. Now, listen to this. We focus, our focus, lack of prioritized eternal focusing, hear this, does in no way affect our eternal, secure, blessed, beloved, justified, and glorified son position status in the heavenlies in Christ. Our lack of prioritizing eternal focusing does in no way affect our eternal secure position in Christ. But rather, our prioritized eternal vertical viewing, that is heavenly's viewing, eternal viewing, in the grace gospel and covenantal scriptures given to us, that is the grace church, the body of Christ, by revelation to and through the apostle Paul. Catch this again, ears up. Is our the grace gospel covenantal scriptures. They are our supreme authority documentation informing us who or whose we are, amen, what we have, what is our hope or our expectation, how we should view everything around us, yes, and regarding us, and what's going on in manifestation in time, in the time capsule. We look around after watching the news and we say, oh my God, what's going on? We pray God that we receive the revelation that we should view it in eternal viewing rather than looking at a thing as it appears to be.
Amen.
Looking into God's word. Notice, saints, this is from Colossians 2:10, and ye are having been in him completed. In Him, we are completed. Finished. Who is the head? Him, Jesus, is the head of all principality and power and authority, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through or by means of the will of God, to the saints, or the set apart ones, those set apart by God, to the being in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus. On the one hand, we have the saints, as we are, manifested in physicality. Speaking of physicality, they abode in Ephesus. And then it said, and also faithful in our eternal abode, which is in Christ Jesus. We are manifestly living and doing and subsisting in time in our different cities and stations of life. But eternal and actual abode is in Christ Jesus. And we, as the people of God, children of God, will not faithful in ourselves. We are not faithful in ourselves. You know it. I know it. It's speaking of our eternal positioning in Him who is faithful. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, I know we like to think well of ourselves sometimes, but we're going to let the Scriptures speak. And we're going to use corroboration, that is bringing in testimony from another part of the Bible, to confirm or strengthen the statements in one part of the Bible. Ella Liverman, turn, please, to Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. We are not faithful in ourselves. We did not come to the Lord. We were saved in eternity by Him. And we were called, not only in eternity, but the manifestation of that call was in time. It manifested in time. But all of God's people don't receive an in time manifested call, but they receive an eternal call, an election. The disabled or mentally incompetent, the little babe that don't have the capacity to articulate or to answer, and even those who have not heard the name of Jesus. Yes, yes,
amen.
Yes. Election is an eternal entity.
Yes.
Elder, read verses 9 through 12 of chapter 3 of Romans. And here we have the spotlight shed and shone on God being justified and how we fare in righteousness, how we stack up in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We are only worth anything in Christ.
Amen.
All the light, all the glory, the honor, the praise goes to Him. Elder, let's see how we stack up here, beginning verse 9.
Romans chapter 3, beginning with the 9th verse, King James.
Yes.
What then?
What then?
Are we better than they?
Paul is speaking about the Jews. Uh-huh. Are we, Gentiles, better than they? Mm-hmm.
No, in no wise.
In no wise.
For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles.
Yes.
That they are all under sin.
Jews and Gentiles are all consigned under sin. In Romans 3 and 23, further in this chapter, it says, for all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The verb have is not there. That's what we call an aorist indicative. It's a completed fact. God has consigned all to sin in earthly manifestation. Sin abides in the flesh. Read, Elder.
as it is written
in Psalm 14, 1 through 3, and Psalm 53, 1. We get this quote.
There is none righteous,
uh-oh,
no, not one.
Uh-oh. There is none righteous, no, not one. What else, Elder?
There is none that understandeth.
There's none of us that understand in ourselves. Comprehension has to be given from God.
Amen.
What else, Elder?
There is none that seeketh after God.
Oh, my God. There's none that seeketh after God. If God had not chosen us, if God had not called us, we would never come. We are consigned to a body of sin and depravity. What else, Ella? Verse 12.
They are all gone out of the way.
All gone out of the way.
Mm-hmm. They are together become unprofitable.
We are together become unprofitable. Now, that's us manifested in the flesh. But there is a glorious difference in our in Christ eternal son positioning. There's a glorious, amen, difference. Now, verse 2.
There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
All right, Ella, we're going to stop. We're going to hold there. Verse 2 of Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians. Verse 2. Paul says, grace to you. Grace. Grace is not something, some good thing that God give us to make us feel good about ourselves. Grace is more than that. Grace is what God has given to us in salvation and enlightenment and enablement. Grace. Grace is kindness. Grace is mercy. Grace is goodwill.
Amen.
Grace is favor from God. From God. Grace is a gift.
Yes, it is.
Grace is a blessing. Grace is graciousness. And grace is the dispensation that we are in. Grace is the covenant that we are under. God is a covenant God. And he has dealt with his people in dispensations and covenant arrangements. God is not a covenant breaker. He's a covenant keeping God.
Hallelujah.
And we are in, smack dab in, the grace dispensation, and we are under the grace covenant. You know the seven dispensations, some of you. God dealt with Adam in the dispensation of innocence. Dispensation meaning the house rule, the economy, and the affairs that God deals with his beloved. The house rule or the economy or the administration. God dealt with Adam under innocence. That was a bilateral covenant. Adam had to do his part. Adam, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. Bilateral. Next dispensation that God dealt with Adam, the federal head, was conscience. Conscience means to know and to be aware. After Adam ate of the fruit, he became aware. He began to know something about himself and his surroundings. He knew that he had did against God. Consciousness. That also was a bilateral covenant. Next we have human government. The federal head of human government was Noah, and that was a unilateral covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. He deals in dispensations and covenants with his elect. He told Noah, and here we have a glimpse of election. He told Noah to build an ark. Then when he finished, he told him who all was to come in. That is a glimpse of election. God chose who would come in, and only those were able to come in. And after he was finished, the Lord sealed him in so that they would be safe. But it being a unilateral covenant, meaning all, amen, the effects was on God to uphold the covenant. That didn't make Noah righteous in himself. I know the scriptures say that he found Noah a man righteous in his generations, but he was not righteous in himself just like we. Remember what Romans said? There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God. If the Lord don't move toward us, we cannot move toward him. Just to show you, amen, after Noah come out the ark, the first thing he did was planted grape seeds. And then he planted a vineyard. Grew grapes. And they just weren't feeding. Noah came out the ark. The goodness is God, not us. Noah came out the ark, he got drunker than I used to get. Praise God. Next we have promise. That was human government. We have promise, the Abrahamic covenant and promise. Where God told Abraham to come to a land that I will show you. I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. Unilateral covenant. All the incumbency was on God to uphold the covenant. Abraham also. Don't talk about the faith of Abraham. Abraham looked around at the promised land. He didn't like what he saw. So he went down to Egypt. And he figured they would kill him for his beautiful wife Sarah. And he started lying. When God had told him of his posterity and he had no children, he did not go by what God had said. And we can't indict Abraham because we don't either. We usually go by what we see. Irregardless of what the word of God has said, we go by what we see. We want to prioritize eternal focusing, vertical viewing. Praise God. If we can do that, if God enable us to do that, the things of life that come to us, that come upon us, that come around us, that come to move us and shake us, we won't be quick to say in despair, oh Lord, what is this? Right. We will readily say and continually say and practically say, what is this for? God sent it for his purpose. Then we have the Mosaic Covenant. It's a bilateral covenant with all its conditions and stipulations. The Lord told Moses, tell the children of Israel, if you obey me and keep my commandments, then will I bless you and you'll be blessed above all the people of the earth. You'll be a kingdom of priests before me. Bilateral covenant. They couldn't keep it. No one could keep their covenant. Adam didn't keep his bilateral covenant. Moses didn't keep his. And if God didn't give us grace, we couldn't keep a conditional covenant.
That's right.
We could not. Then we have the introduction of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ come preaching the kingdom gospel. The Lord didn't preach the gospel of the grace of God. He did not usher in, while on his earthly sojourn, the grace dispensation. He committed that to another. They rejected the king. They rejected the gospel in the book of Acts, early chapters of the book of Acts. And so now the kingdom is on hold. But yet his covenant to Abraham still stands. He's going to bless Abraham's posterity. Amen. That while that kingdom is on hold, and that gospel, that kingdom gospel that's represented in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also in the gospel of John, they are put on hold. They are not our gospel. They are the gospel of the kingdom. And we are not kingdom subjects. We are members of Christ's body, of which we're going to see when we get back to Ephesians. And while the kingdom is on hold, and that prayer is not our prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and it will, on earth as it is in heaven. But as we look around us, we see that God's will is not being done, and this is sure no kingdom we're in. Praise God. Now we have ushered in. The Lord chose a man, a mean man, one that was self-righteous and haughty. Name was Saul. And the Lord chose him, knocked him off his beast, and told him, say, you are a chosen vessel unto me. You are elected, chosen unto me to bear my name before. Now look who he put first. He put the Gentiles first, but Paul didn't preach to Gentiles first. But that was the main focus of his ministry, primarily Gentiles and Jews as well. He gave him the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. Elder, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and I want you to look at verses 1 through 5 of Ephesians chapter 3. This is our gospel. This is our marching orders. The law in the Old Testament or Old Covenant is not our marching orders. They are not our directives. We have a set of directives that were given to us from the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus. And it's the grace dispensation, the grace gospel, and it's the covenant of grace. And in order to magnify his grace, God chose a man that couldn't receive nothing but grace. He chose the worst guy around, in a sense, to magnify grace.
Yes, it did, yes.
I don't think any of us have done what Paul did. Amen. Paul wasn't just a guy that went out to persecute people. Paul was not just a guy that went out to have killed anybody he didn't necessarily like socially. Paul was one that tried to stamp out the name of Jesus. And everywhere he found one that called on the name of Jesus, he was vehemently, viciously against them. He brought them in for trial and even unto death. And he didn't even know that he was a chosen vessel. According to the book of Galatians, the first chapter, he had chosen me from my mother's womb to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace in me. Praise God. Saints, when you were coming along as a child, some of you, my salvation wasn't manifested till I was in my mid-20s. I'm like the folk that are around me. Gavin, I was as surprised as they were. I didn't know I was a chosen vessel. Bless God. Ella, let's see what dispensation and covenant we under. Read verses 1 through 5, Ella. No, we're going to go down to verse 7.
Ephesians chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning with the first verse.
Yes, and let me say this. If you know all of this that I am relating, somebody may not. This is going all over the world. Someone may not have been given the comprehension that you have been given. And so we take nothing for granted. The Lord put in my spirit, just as Ella Liveman, before Sunday school. He's our current Sunday school teacher. We alternate. And every Sunday, he read doctrinal statements over and over again. Peradventure, someone didn't get it. Or someone might be in the audience that didn't hear it before. Or someone may not understand. So bear with me. If the Lord have given you comprehension, allow grace to cause you to give place to another to hear. All right. Begin reading the verse 1, Elder.
Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
For this cause I, Paul,
mm-hmm.
the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.
Now, as I said earlier, Paul was in prison. This was one of his prison epistles. But he considered himself more a prisoner of Christ than he considered himself a prisoner in that jail. He was more a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Saints, we are more who we are in Christ than we are in our relationships, than we are in our jobs, than we are in our own skin of flesh. We are more who we are in Christ Jesus. We are more than we are in our neighborhood, in our affiliations, our sororities, and on and on. We are more in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, we have eternal abode. Eternal abode. No kicking out, putting out, shutting out, getting out. Eternal abode.
Yes.
Verse 2, Elder.
Amen. Verse 2. If ye heard of the dispensation of the grace of God.
If indeed you heard of the dispensation. Dispensation is the administration, the house rule, or the economy of God dealing in affairs with his people in the entity of grace. Grace. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God is what?
Which is given to me to
given
you.
Given to me, Paul, not Pete, nor Saint Pete. Given to the Apostle Paul for you what? Meaning primarily and predominantly Gentiles. Verse 3, Elder.
How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
By revelation. He made known unto me the mystery. And the mystery is given to us in 14 epistles. From Romans to Hebrews, we have the mystery. And it came by revelation. The apostles, the 12, they walked with Christ, talked with Christ, abode with him. And he taught them. But Paul was of a different, amen, order. The Lord gave him the revelation of the mystery through revelation.
Yes.
Christ had ascended and was glorified, and he revealed it unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And to show our dependency on God, if we are going to understand, if we are going to comprehend, if we are going to know and be assured of and convinced of who we truly are, if we are going to have confidence that we are secure,
yes,
whatever comes.
Yes.
Whoever sit in Washington, whatever wars rage around us are on our streets. God has to give us revelational understanding of who we are. Who we not for a time are, but who we eternally are.
Yes.
Verse 4, Elder.
Verse 4. Whereby,
mm-hmm,
when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Yes.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Not to Isaiah, Jeremiah, or none of the prophets. It wasn't made known to them. As what?
As it is now revealed.
Yes.
Unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
By the Spirit. We are God's spiritual people, spiritual children, and we receive our comprehension, we receive our covenant through the Spirit. Don't let that word holy apostles and prophets throw you. Look in the Acts, the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter, and it will show you who the grace apostles were and prophets. They were not Peter. It's not talking about Peter, James, and John here. Peter didn't know this. It wasn't given to him. It was given unto Paul and those that were the Lord gave Paul to help him. Peter himself said, our brother Paul, he speaks some things hard to be understood. They have to be given by revelation. Don't you let nobody tell you that our gospel is simple. It has to be given by revelation. Never mind that keep it simple. It has to be revealed. How many of God's people, oh my God, I was over 30 before it was revealed to me. I was chunking folk in hell left and right in my self-righteousness. But there always seemed to be one person that I never assigned to hell. I'm not going to tell you who it was. Never put him in hell. I don't care how slew his foot was. Glory to God. Read on a little further, Elder. That the Gentiles.
Verse 6. That the Gentiles,
yes,
should be fellow heirs.
Uh-huh.
And of the same body.
And of the same body.
And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
By the gospel. Partakers of his promise in the same body. The body of Christ. We are his spiritual children. Mm-hmm. By the gospel. Verse 7, tell us what gospel that is, where they can hear it all over the world.
Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister.
The gospel whereof I was made a minister, Paul said. He was given the gospel of the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God. We are smack dab in the dispensation, the covenant of the grace of God. In the old covenant, those are not our marching orders. We go there, certainly you can find some truths, for all the Bible is true. But those are not our marching orders. They are not our directives. Mm-hmm. Our directives are in the grace covenant or contract.
Yes.
There's another here that I retired from Ford Motor. One of our brethren retired from GM. I can't go snooping around his, sniffing around his contract. We got retirees from DPS. What does that contract have to do with me? We got to stay in our own contractual information from the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. If we see a command, know that it's a command of grace.
Yes.
It's not a stipulation to see if you do it, you're gone. No. Grace, kindness, mercy, goodness, gift, blessing, graciousness. Verse 3, blessed the God, high praise, the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He's not our King. He's Israel's King. That's why in the song, you see, we say, we skip the word King and insert another word. He's not our King. He's the head of the body of which we all are members. We are members out of part of the one body, speaking spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Ethnicities, that's not part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Geographical, they may be in the body of Christ, but it has nothing to do with geography.
Oh, Lord.
Or ethnicity or any of those things. It don't have anything to do with social or economic status. Ah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, I'd be way out. Bless Jesus. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, having blessed us. Now here we have what we call the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a completed action.
Mm-hmm.
We are already blessed. We're not trying to get anything. I love the song. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make... No, you're not. No, you're not. You're in. You're always in.
Amen.
You can't get out.
I hear you.
Hallelujah. We're in. Aorist tense. Having blessed us. In each and every blessing spiritual. Each and every blessing spiritual. My mother used to have a saying when we were growing up. When she wanted all of us to come, she'd call us. And I didn't want to say, Mom, you want me? Every chicken-picking one of you, come here.
Mm-hmm.
Every spiritual blessing, each and every spiritual blessing is in the singular. But we are the heirs of all.
Yes,
each and every one of them. Now, why did he say spiritual blessings? Why did he say spiritual blessing? You know, most of us, we think if we are blessed, it has to be physical. When we talk about blessings, we think that it's talking about physicality. But these are spiritual blessings. And why would he write to us regarding spiritual blessings? Because they go with who we are. You heard the expression, they go with the neighborhood? The spiritual blessings are applicable to us where we are and according to who we are. Your origin is not where you were born in flesh.
That's right.
I want you to know that.
Amen.
We are in Christ Jesus eternally.
Amen.
Which verse, let me read verse 4. Verse 4 said, according as he chose us, election, picked us out, selected each of us,
yes, it is,
in himself, before the creation of the world, before creation, before the cosmos, before the galaxies, before the Milky Way and all the galaxies, he chose us in him, before the world, this great big world, which is in nothing but a dot in the Milky Way, if that, in the Milky Way, a dot in the cosmos, he chose us in him, before creation, being us. This is a present infinitive, but it's still present tense. Being us then, upon him choosing us, set apart.
Mm-hmm.
When you select or choose somebody, don't you set them apart? When you go in the voting booth, you don't just start hitting every lever.
No, you
look for that one name, and then you choose that one. We was individually chosen. Members of the body of Christ. But I ain't worth nothing. I don't know why I chose that. He knew that. He knew. What did we just read? There's none that understand. There's none that seeketh after God. We were chosen before we could be born and even mess up. We were chosen. Remember what I read in Romans 3 and 23? For all sin, that is an aorist indicative, a completed fact, God decreed all sin under sin in this sphere. What the first man? God told him, in the day, don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. In the day you eat of it, you surely die. What did he do? Hallelujah. We all are under sin. But the Lord chose us.
Amen.
Set us apart. And here's more good news. Faultless. You mean to tell me all that I've been doing, I'm faultless? If you in Christ, if you belong to him, faultless. And when he take you out of this here, the sin will go.
Amen.
Sin, we are delivered from sin by the Lord taking us out of physicality and flesh.
Yes.
Sin abides in the flesh.
Yes.
Not in your eternal existence in the body of Christ.
Right.
When we out of this here,
yes,
we out of sin.
We're
out of physicality.
Oh,
you are faultless,
yes,
before himself. And here is the peaches in the peach cobbler. It's all in love.
Amen.
It's all in love. God is not angry at you ever.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
It's all in love. We couldn't get to glory by ourselves, according to ourselves, of us. We couldn't do it.
Amen.
We were chosen, selected. And God put us smack dab in the highest order. We are members of the body of Christ. We are in the grace dispensation. No stipulations, no condition. Grace. Spiritual blessings, all of them. What we don't realize is who we are and where we actually abide. I'm not talking about this us here. I'm talking about the you. And the me. The real me. The real us. The eternal spiritual us. That's the one. That's why he said, he having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual. Elder, turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to read verses 18 through 20. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to take verses 18 through 20. I know that we are in America. That's according to the flesh. I know that we are citizens of the United States. That's according to the flesh. I know that we abide within, right now, the city of Ferndale.
Amen.
That's manifestation, testimony being confirmation and witness of what God has done. He had decreed and placed us and assigned us a space in time, a plot in time. But that is not actualization from God's decree. What he decreed us in eternity before we ever were enrobed in flesh. We think that that's the best we are. Born in America. That's wonderful. That's fine. But let's see where our actual abode is. We got to know these things. Because there are coming some things upon us in this country. There are coming some things upon us, maybe even the next day. We don't know what a day may hold for us. As the pastor said, on the matrix. Those grids that God has set, and he passes our consciousness through the grids. But everything is already done and consigned in grids on the matrix. And our consciousness, which means to know and be aware, passes through those grids. Ella, read, let's find out where we truly are.
Philippians chapter 3,
beginning, 18th
beginning
verse,
with the 18th verse.
Yes.
For many walk.
This is Paul. For many walk.
Of whom I have told you often.
Mm-hmm.
And now tell you even weeping.
Even weeping.
That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
The enemies of the cross of Christ. And let's see what is the end of them or regarding them.
Verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
Whose end is destruction.
Whose end is destruction or ruin or loss.
Whose God is their belly.
Whose God their belly.
And whose glory is in their shame.
Whose glory in their shame. And this is the phrase that I want you to pay attention to. It's going to lead into verse 20.
Who mind earthly things.
Who mind earthly things. What did I say? I prioritize eternal focusing. In the grace dispensation and covenant. Our gospel points and prioritizes regarding us eternality over physicality. It prioritizes spirituality over physicality. It prioritizes eternality over temporality. Our gospel, our covenant, prioritizes that. And that is to be our what we should pray and strive toward, our eternal focusing. All right, they mind earthly things. Let's see what's our lot. Verse 20.
Verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
For our conversation is in heaven.
Go ahead, finish it, Elder.
From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
That word, that King James Version, which they call the authorized version because it was authorized by King James. It was supposedly have been translated from the original Greek writings. Sometimes they translate it correctly. Sometimes they translate it incorrectly. Sometimes they editorize. Sometimes they put a word in and meant it to clarify and it confused more. That word, I looked it up, is better and more accurately a community or citizenship. Yes. Our citizenship is in the heavenlies, from whence also we look for a Savior in manifestation. It's already happened. God has already done everything. Everything regarding your life is already done in its own grids in the matrix. Our consciousness just catch up with it. The day of our birth was on the grid in the matrix. The day of the Lord taking us out of physicality, which we call natural death or physical death, and that's all it is. We are eternally secure in him. It's on the matrix.
Yes.
Our citizenship. That is why Paul said, high praise to the Lord, God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, who having blessed us in each and every spiritual blessing, because our citizenship is in glory in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's where our citizenship is.
Yes, Lord.
We are manifested in the earth for a time and for testimony of what God has purposed just for a time. Well, I hope I live to be 100. It ain't long. It's not long.
I hear you.
Most stuff you want to do, you wouldn't be able to.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Our eternal, unending abode
yes.
is in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen.
While I'm talking about consciousness, catching up with the grids of what God has already decreed in manifestation on the matrix. Manifestation is what we see, is what God shows us. Actualization is what is actual or real. You know the game show when they guess, try to guess what an item costs, and then the moderator comes in and say the actual retail price is. When the word actual, actualize, or actualization is in play, you stand up. You know you're finna get the real deal. Our actual existence, our true citizenship,
yes.
our eternal abode is in the heavenlies.
Amen.
And that is why we're praising God for the spiritual blessings.
Amen.
That's what we have where we are. Now, I said consciousness was to be aware of and to know. In time, in physicality, we have earthly, God give us earthly physical consciousness. We are aware and knowing through the five senses that relate to physicality. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and another one, touching. When God takes us out of our physical bodies, and therefore, out of physicality, we leave those earthly physical senses where they belong. They have no resonation in eternality.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
We have spirit. Yes. Ella, while I'm doing this, get me 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to finish up right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. When the Lord takes us out of physicality, we have no longer need, or we are separated from that fleshly, physical consciousness that relates to, that we need in time and physicality to relate to things around us. And we are in spirituality. So he gives us spiritual consciousness. Remember, consciousness is to be aware and to know. And unconsciousness is to not be aware and not know. Now, in these verses that I'm going to close on, we have the Apostle Paul relating to an experience he had in the book of Acts. I forget the chapter. When they had stoned him and left him for graveyard dead. Elder, this is the experience he is relating to us about eternality, and you can see consciousness at work in it. Elder, read.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the first verse.
Yes.
It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory.
Uh-huh.
I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.
Yes.
I knew a man in Christ.
Yes.
Above 14 years ago.
I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. This is an account of when he was stoned outside of Lystra and left for dead. They thought he was dead.
Yes, they did.
So they left him alone and went on about their business. But God was not through with him. God took him to this place of this happening. You mean God called, was over the accident that I got? God, everything is in the creation is in the Lord. The Lord has to enable everything.
Yes.
Everything. The elements and those chemical things that make up the element. God has to enable everything.
Amen.
He is the creator. Read on, Ella.
Whether in the body, I cannot tell.
Paul said, I knew a man above Christ 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I can't tell. Or what else?
Or whether out of the body,
cannot
tell.
I cannot tell. He did not have his physical, earthly conscience in play when they had stoned him and knocked his brain silly and he was out cold. His consciousness was not in play, aware and knowing. In the body, out, I cannot tell. What else he said, Elder?
God knoweth.
God knows.
Such a one caught up to the third heaven.
Caught up to the third heaven. Read, Elder.
And I knew such a man.
Uh-huh. He knew that much, didn't he? But not, you mean you gonna, you know about third heavens in physical earthly conscience? I don't think so.
Amen.
I knew such a man, what?
Whether in the body.
Uh-huh.
Or out of the body.
Yes.
I cannot tell.
Can't tell.
God knoweth.
God knows. Read it.
Verse 4. How then he was caught up into paradise.
Caught up into paradise. He knew that much. But he didn't know he was in the body, out of the body. Earthly physical consciousness had been taken away from him. He was in what you might call a coma. Comatose. According to earthly standards. But something else was working real good. He knew where he was. Isn't that what he said? I was caught up to the third heavens. And I heard some stuff. What else? What did it say in the other verse 4?
And heard unspeakable words.
Now that word is better inexpressible. Not unspeakable.
Uh-huh.
Inexpressible. I'm going to say some more about that after a while. And what else, Elder?
Words which is not lawful for a man to utter.
That word, the word for law is nomos. That word is not, nomos is nowhere in there. That word is existing. It was not possible. The words which is, it is not possible for man to utter. Inexpressible. I heard things. I just don't have words to articulate what I heard. Let alone what I saw. I don't have human words to talk about it. You're talking about a glorious existence. When we get rid of all the fuss and all the bill paying and all the trying and all the dying and all the kin and can't, we in the arms of Jesus. Read it, finish it up, Elder. Is that the end of it?
Of such, verse 5,
mm-hmm.
Of such a one we are glory.
No, I won't glory in him.
Yet of myself I will not glory. But in mine
infirmities. I glory in the Lord, not in mine infirmities.
Mm-hmm.
God had given him
glory to God.
Spiritual consciousness.
Oops.
Spiritual consciousness.
Yes.
Yes,
only reason we need earthly physical consciousness is why we are in this.
Yes.
It's not needed out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And
glory,
it goes on in the book of Acts. Paul just got up. He got up. The saints were standing around him. They thought he was dead. He didn't know what he was. Wait, in the body. They were standing around him, and he got up. And nothing was said about what he saw to them anymore about it. They went on their way. He still hadn't articulated it to us when he wrote his last epistle. In fleshly consciousness, because the Lord had taken his consciousness out of physicality. That's why our blessings are in spirituality. That's why our true abode is in spirituality. Everything we got here is on loan and it's going fast away.
Amen.
Our relationships, our children. But I love my children. I love my children to pieces. Yeah. Sometimes you want them to be pieces. But that's far as you can go. Infinite love of God.
Yes.
Eternality. We're not losing anything. Everything you're going through is for testimony only. God has designed it. It's not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. God bless you, saints. Be encouraged.
Be encouraged.